Hey, Prepper Recon fans, welcome to another edition of the PrepperRecon.com podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the globe so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it. Today's guest is Ed Brown of DCExposed.com. Ed, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So how long have you been writing DC Exposed, and why did you start writing it?
DC Exposed came along in July of 2011, and I've been writing to varying degrees for about a year and a half now. It started out as basically just another website I was putting together, probably get it put together, pieced together, and sell it off at some point, but some things happened along the way, and I decided I'd start putting some of my personal ambitions into it, and it slowly grown from there.
But you're following your heart, that's good.
Yeah, I'm doing what I need to. Got kids, got some young kids, and I'm really concerned about what's happening here and what's going to wind up being left behind for those children. I refer to kids as our future selves, and they really are. Their happiness is no less important 100 years from now than ours is to us right now. Americans have gotten away from thinking about tomorrow. It's all about right now and self. And I think most Americans with children are the ones you'll see that are mostly concerned with government and the direction we're heading in general.
Yeah, and then the ones that are too scared to have any because they think it's too far gone.
Or like the young lady in North Carolina who has one and seems to be being punished for having a child. The school system there told her that her picture wasn't welcome because she had her baby, her 2 or 3 month old baby. She posed with in the picture for her school yearbook, and it was refused. They wouldn't allow her to do it, even though it was an accomplishment setting. Kids had props, sports equipment, band instruments, pets even. But she was disallowed because she brought what she considered her biggest accomplishment, which was her baby.
Wow.
Young girls went on. She has a job. She's in college, and her mother says that she's a terrific mother. So in a way, it seems like our government's really against humanity continuing long term. I know that sounds really, really far fetched, but
Yeah, I think our president made some kind of a comment about if his daughters made the mistake of getting pregnant, he wouldn't want to see them punished with having a child. And I thought it was crazy that we have a president that thinks that human life is a punishment.
Yeah, President Obama said that in April of 2008. As he was campaigning, he was in Pennsylvania, the same state that he told, he made the comment about cleaning the guns and Bibles. Mm. He also said that, if one of his daughters were to become pregnant, he wouldn't want him punished, like you said. And that's a stiff word, punish.
That's terrible.
I guess our friend Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, he's the guy who prevents that punishment from happening.
Yeah, I'm always kind of down on mainstream media, but Fox really did do a good special on Kermit Gosnell and the atrocities that he was pulling off in his clinic.
Pretty rough. I've covered him on a couple of articles. That's a rough story. That shouldn't be happening.
It shouldn't be anywhere in the world, especially America.
I'm tickled to see Mike Lee introduce that proposal that they should the Senate should reevaluate abortion standards nationwide, and it really should be. They should be regulated. One of the most regulated. If it's going to have to exist, let's regulate it. Let's make these people sorry that they ever got into the business. Killing babies.
Yeah. And then you had another really good article on DC Exposed about Nikki Haley, and she's trying to make an effort to nullify Obamacare in South Carolina. There are a bunch of rabble rousers down there in South Carolina, huh?
Yeah, my old neighbors. I'm a North Carolina native, so
that's God's country too.
It is. It used to be more so. If you notice, North Carolina in the last few elections teetering to blue, very alarming.
Yeah,
I actually moved out of that state for some varying reasons, that being one of them. But yes, Nikki Haley in South Carolina, the only thing left is her signature to ink that nullification bill and Obamacare will be, quote, forbidden to occur in the state of South Carolina. Anyone caught trying to enforce the rules of Obamacare can be held criminally liable by the state of South Carolina. And the governor, Ms. Haley, who I absolutely adore, she's probably my favorite governor out of all 50. In the legislation, which the South Carolina House has already passed, it's just waiting on her signature. It says any South Carolina citizen who is forced to pay the penalty for noncompliance of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, those folks will have that taken off of their South Carolina income tax liability. That's how serious these folks in South Carolina are about getting out of the punishments of noncompliance of another Obama mandate.
Good for her. Good for her. Now, the last time South Carolina acted up like that, it didn't end too well, did it?
No, it didn't. Of course, the 19th century, 1828 and 1832, South Carolina nullified because of federally mandated tariffs that were being imposed. And it became what was known today by historians as the nullification crisis. And it was a short 28 years later that the North and South found themselves embroiled in the Civil War. This is the way the states, you see many states teetering, wanting to get out of a lot of Obama-stamped legislation. And the more states you see doing this, and the more often they do the nullification, the backing away, the more likelihood there actually is of another civil war between certain states and the federal government. And South Carolina would be at the forefront. They would be on the front line of that.
Yeah, they were last time.
Sure were.
Now, I just read a poll saying that 29% of registered voters think we need an armed revolution, maybe something like what you're talking about.
29% of about 900 registered voters. It certainly wasn't
a broad, it was a small poll, but...
Small poll. And the way that the statement was phrased, it wasn't misleading, but it left some leeway in there for you to think about. Honestly, and that included, that 29% included Democrats, Independents, and Republicans, but 44% of the Republicans polled said they think that at some point in the near future, armed revolution may be necessary.
Wow.
That's alarming.
It is. It is. I guess you could put Adam Kokesh in that 29%.
You could put Kokesh in that percentage 5, 6, 7 years ago. Kokesh is a controversial figure. Kokesh is rallying, and when Kokesh says, I'm going to do, he always comes through. I don't doubt for a minute that he is not going to show up in D.C. on July the 4th of this year with this open carry, which he's promoting on Facebook. And a lot of people, I ran this article and it blew up on the website. It started draining the server because Kokesh, like I said, is very controversial. It's very split. A lot of people, even in a conservative, especially Tea Party, don't like Kokesh. They think he's just looking for a way to give Obama the reason he wants to bring down the hammer and the martial law. And when you arm a group of people, and it says on the Facebook, on the page, with loaded rifles. It says that, a quote.
Yeah.
They're going to DC with loaded rifles. And it says if the government doesn't become violent, then they won't either. Keep your eyes out for July the 4th and Adam Kokesh in Washington. The guy, like him, hate him, the guy is in the center of it all.
Yeah.
Even, I'm not sure about his motivators, but the guy's always in the center of it all.
Yeah. He's got, is it 10,000 people that have already signed that they're going to march with him?
I think he wants 10,000 to sign and get 1,000 definites to show up. Now, I don't think all 1,000 of those are going to be armed. And it does say in Kokesh's blog there on his Facebook page, it does say that if they're met with respectful agents of the federal government, they will turn back. They're not looking to go shooting the place up.
Yeah.
Still, it's gas and fire mixing. And I'm on the side of most of the folks who agree that I think more bad can come of it than good. A Facebook commenter told me, he commented on a post I made. He thinks it's a good idea, but maybe not in D.C. And I completely agree.
Yeah.
Because, like Martin Luther King Jr. taught me, not personally, of course, political leverage happens out in the country, in the heartland. You go out, you find your support, and then you bring it to Washington. Mm-hmm. What Kokesh is trying to do here is he's trying to get his mug on the camera, and he'll probably succeed again. I just hope that there is no violence. I hope there's no shooting. Someone in that group's amped up and ready to pull the trigger on a loaded gun, which they have promised to bring. It seems dangerous to me. And honestly, that could be a Molotov cocktail on any plans for some sort of conspiratorial theories about Obama bringing down martial law. That could be the beginning of it.
Yeah. Maybe,
but we'll have to wait and see till July the 4th in Washington, D.C. with Kokesh.
Yeah, I would just say to any of our listeners out there that are planning on going, don't bring your favorite rifle. If you've got a nice tricked out AR that you spent $3,000 getting the EOTech scope on it and the night vision and all of that, leave that one at home. Take that old crappy .22 that jams all the time anyway.
Never load a gun you're not ready to unload the trigger.
That's true, right?
That's absolutely true. Never load a gun you're not ready to unload on the trigger.
Yeah.
The need for the bullets, maybe the guns, but the bullets are going to be dangerous. And I hope no kids do that.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. I hope cool heads will prevail in this trial. Now, you had another article on DC Exposed about the Pentagon's new atheist advisor, Michael Weinstein. Tell us a little about this guy.
Oh, yeah, Weinstein. The clergy now are not allowed to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ within the U.S. military.
Wow, those are the guys that need the protection of God the most, right?
Yeah, if I'm laying there bloodied up on my way to meet the Maker, please don't keep this chaplain from sharing the gospel of Christ with me.
Yeah, that could be the thing that determines their eternity, and I guess the devil's pretty happy with that if he can...
Oh. The devil's been kicking his heel. He's been just enjoying the U.S. for the last number of years. Not just the last 4 or 5, but for the last number of years. Satan has been sitting back with a big old box of popcorn and enjoying everything that's happening here.
Yeah.
Because the same military now that is coming down on Christianity is actually promoting homosexuality. And people disagree. They're not promoting it. They're just allowing it. That's not true. Leon Panetta introduced new legislation, which Barack Obama signed just before he left office, stating that unmarried homosexual couples who were willing to testify with a signed notary seal that they were in fact homosexuals. And I saw the form. It's not conspiracy. If they're willing to attest to that, they're eligible for benefits that unmarried heterosexual couples in the military are not eligible for. Do not apply if you're straight and unmarried. Only if you're gay. That to me is promoting homosexuality.
Yeah, and Michael Weinstein's advice that to court martial any Christian that's proselytizing, it's a one way street, and it doesn't carry over, because if a gay man's hitting on a straight man, he's proselytizing him, right?
Absolutely, he's promoting that, and I've met quite a few. He's promoting his beliefs.
That's right.
His faith, maybe it's not his faith or his religion, but he's promoting his lifestyle. And in that gray area is where, if Christians really wanted to push it, they could push for the same exact treatment. But the right's gotten quiet. The right's gotten way too quiet. The conservatives, the right wing, us, basically, we aren't loud. And that case in North Carolina with the young girl who had her picture removed from the yearbook, it's not a huge story, but if you peel the top layer back and look at why North Carolina did that, why that school did that, huge story. They did it because they were scared of the ramifications that a few select leftists, radical leftists, they were afraid that they would be seen as promoting teen pregnancy, and they knew that that's a leftist agenda, and they knew that the left would scream bloody murder if they did that. If the right had an argument, and if they screamed as loud you would start seeing things, policy and decisions shifting back to the center. But the left is winning the screaming match right now in this country. Mm-hmm. And I know Jesus taught tolerance and he called passion and understanding. And I agree with all that. But in politics, want to change the direction, you've got to become vocal. And I don't mean on Facebook. I mean out there in the real world where it counts. In the street, with your congressman, with your school. If enough people would have called that school in favor of that picture running and threatened to take it to another level, that school may have retracted that and allowed the picture to publish. But currently the left is definitely, with the support of Barack Obama and his mainstream media, they are definitely winning that battle. And that's where DCX and sites like it come along. Andrew Breitbart, he was my inspiration. And he started a wave of online activity that will one day, I believe, become more important to Americans than the mainstream media, the Diane Sawyer 6:30 national news. And because people want the truth, and they want to be able to go find the truth when they have the time to, not at 6:30, maybe they're not available then. I think the mainstream's got a lot of weaknesses that I would personally love to attack, and I would love to cause an infection in, because the mainstream media is the number one culprit in this country of the way our politics are turning out.
And while we're on that subject of the mainstream media, do you think that the mainstream media is censored by the government, not directly, but maybe in some way, or do you just think the mainstream media is simply selling the hogwash that the people are buying?
No, I think the people in the media tend to be Democrats. And that's cool. A lot of good people were Democrats at one point. I don't go along with the party policies now. But you have to understand the FCC, there are people that are appointed to the FCC who are married to or used to be married to or have children with people who work with these mainstream media outlets. Martha Raddatz, who called one of the presidential debates this year and did a terrible job. Martha Raddatz did a horrible job. She did so much discredit to her lifelong work. She's married, or she's actually the ex-wife of and shares a child with the president of the FCC. She is a lifelong journalist with ABC News. If you can't put those two puzzle pieces together and see where there's a possible connection of impropriety, then you're just not looking at the real picture. Also, it doesn't really look that good when the President of the United States shows up for that wedding a few years ago. President Obama did appear for Raddatz's wedding. When you choose Raddatz or anyone in that position to go moderate a debate between that president and his challenger, it's not going to be fair. And it wasn't fair. Raddatz did a poor job. The mainstream media as a whole is controlled by not just the Democrat Party or a philosophy. They're controlled by Barack Obama. This is Barack Obama's media. The ABCs and NBCs and the MSNBCs and all the big guys that are controlled by the FCC are in Barack Obama's back pocket.
It's just cheerleading squad.
Absolutely. If you come on, and it's been proven a few times, if you come on and you make your case and you go and you make a statement that network disagrees with, you are gone.
I also read on DC Exposed that the Council on American Islamic Relations is trying to get Maryland public schools to grant days off for Muslim holidays. Can you tell us a little bit about that article?
The EID holidays, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce them, but they're twin Muslim holidays, CARE as I call it. And I guess everyone is expected to call it that. They're doing what they always do. They're muddying up the waters, and the school already observes those two holidays. And the superintendents of schools said this as much. Now, they don't close for those holidays, and that's what CARE is actually petitioning for. They're petitioning to have the schools closed on those two EID holidays. And a lot of folks don't like it. A lot of folks don't like the way it smells. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a losing argument for conservatives in the current state we're in. Because, like I just got done lamenting, we're losing the vocal battle, the vocal political battle right now. In organizations like CAIR, C-A-I-R, they're winning. They are winning it hands down. And it's a tough sell when you do take Christian holidays and you do take Jewish holidays. It's a tough sell when you want to say, no, that's where we're going to stop. We're not going to have Muslim holidays. The problem with the idea is a lot of Muslims around the world think it's the time to go raping and pillaging and murdering and slaughtering oxen by the dozen. And there's a case in Britain, in UK right now. I think it has already been decided. I think the perpetrator's got 40 years, where these men kidnap a number of girls and rape them over the course of a weekend. And when the courts asked them why, they said it was part of their EID festivities.
Oh, I thought it was a religion of peace.
It's not a religion of peace when you radicalize it and you add the Islam factor. Radical Islam has hijacked any credibility the Muslim faith has.
And yeah, but the founder, Muhammad, his youngest wife, Aisha, was 6 years old. I don't know whose book that's okay in, you know?
There's a lot of things in that book that I'm not okay with, but let's be honest here. I'm Christian. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament of the Bible that look pretty brutal to me. The Quran and the accompanying Hadith, which is basically the rule book that tells the Quran what to do, is full of some blood-curdling stuff. Child molestation, bestiality. There's some pretty rough stuff in there. I've never studied the whole thing. I've never read the whole thing. And I've never gone on it because I've seen enough in it to know that it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But once again, radicalization of those scriptures is where the problem is. People are becoming radicalized. And a lot of my readers disagree with me on this, but there are Muslims in the world, even in the U.S., who aren't looking to go out and rape and kill and be a pain in the ass, like most of the ones we usually see on TV.
Yeah.
And overseas killing Christians and blowing up whatever they can find because they don't like a movie or some nonsense. But radical Islam is the forefront of the satanic movement.
Uh-huh.
Radical Islam represents the foe that Christians will face in the end days.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I do believe it's evil. I do believe it's here. And according to the Bible, I do believe it's probably going to become worse before it gets any better. But radical Islam, it's being promoted. The United States is paying to continue the radicalization of Islam. We're sending money yearly to Egypt, who is now ran by the founding fathers of radical Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, we're buying them planes in Egypt.
Planes. We're sending over 20 F-16s, I think it was, and about 200 Abrams tanks. Now, the U.S. will be reimbursed for these vehicles and this stuff, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think that the way it's going there right now, that government needs a bunch of firepower like that.
They don't really need that technology, and then they're...
They don't be able to dissect the Abrams tank and see what makes it go, or an F-16 jet fighter, and you know, they've been having violent protests there because of Morsi's iron fist rule, which we all knew was going to happen. When we went into Egypt, or when Barack Obama backed up Egypt and we went in, I knew that the ultimate outcome would be Muslim Brotherhood, because that's what Barack Obama supports, even in Palestine. What he supports.
And I know that they we're not admitting that we're backing the rebels in Syria just yet, but you know, I see these guys on TV over there. They don't have a loaf of bread, but they've got rocket propelled grenades and cases of ammo and plenty of firepower. They've got to be getting that from somebody.
And that firepower is getting more sophisticated by the day, and the large majority of it is being ran around elbows to take the U.S. brand off of it. Definitely arms leaving the U.S., heading for a roundabout route to Syria. The problem there is Al-Qaeda is chewed up in Syria. They are there. They have been there, and they represent a large majority of the rebel fighters in Syria.
Yeah, didn't we arm some rebels in some country called Afghanistan a couple of decades ago, and some guy named Bin Laden.
And then we decided we'd start training the guys on how to kill our own troops. The green-on-blue killing, the blue-on-green, as they call them. We train a guy, we give him a gun. As soon as we turn our back, he puts a bullet in our back. That was time, at that point in the juncture, it was time to pack up and head on home.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time. That's an Orwellian war, I call it.
Yeah.
George Orwell's 1984, he talked about perpetual war and how profitable it was. If you have the industry, then create war. You'll always at least have a bullet factory that's hiring people and consuming materials. I don't know if that's actually the reason for being in Afghanistan, but 12 years now, like my dad used to tell me, if you can't get it done in a certain amount of time, you're never going to get it done. We're never going to get it done in Afghanistan because we're not willing to fight war anymore. We're not willing to wage war anymore. The United States has went soft. And this is not a Barack Obama thing. This has been happening for a long, long time, decades. We decided that we were above killing people to win wars. And instead of concerning ourselves with our own troops and their safety, we are now more concerned with our enemy and their people and their safety. And it's absolutely Orwellian. If I was elected president tomorrow, which I don't think I'm going to be, my first order of business would be bringing every troop stationed in this world with the bare minimum to station at our embassies worldwide. The rest of those troops would come home and they'd be put to work defending the borders of this country because I would shut it down tomorrow for immigration. Yeah. I would permanently shut it, but for a long time there would not be anyone legally or illegally coming into this country. We don't have enough left to give to anyone anymore. I'm sorry. It's all gone.
Yeah. Didn't Rome have a little bit of an issue with the military overstretch?
Rome had a lot of problems, one of them being homosexuality. Sorry, not too PC of me to say that, but it tested that that's one reason they eventually failed. They also had a bad habit of sharing their technology with their enemy. And that drone that went down, that was hijacked and went down in Iran last year, I think it was last year, it may have been 2011, totally pre-staged. Completely
wow.
Restaged. You don't lose drones, folks.
Huh.
That was an olive branch that our government decided to give Iran.
Oh, that's terrible.
That just makes me sick. And it was the very next chance that Ahmadinejad had. He was flying a drone around, showing it off. It was a very rudimentary drone, but you could see the sentiment in what he was doing.
Yeah. I guess the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history.
Well, if we don't, we're going to keep feeding it.
Yeah.
The United States is still a gorgeous country. It's beautiful. I don't want to be anywhere else.
No.
But we have some serious problems, and we need to work on them. And we need to start with our economy, because a weak economy is a weak everything.
That's right.
You can't be a strong presence in the world if your economy is in shambles. And it's my opinion that Barack Obama has intentionally undermined the American economy to cripple the citizens and to make them more eager to come back to him for more benefits come election time.
We've completely turned our back on God in so many areas of this country, and we've taken God out of the classroom, we've taken him out of the courtroom, and now we're taking him out of the military where the men really, really need him. And it's basically the same geographical locations that are coming against us that came against Israel when they turned their back on God in the Old Testament of the Bible.
And now Israel's back.
Yeah.
Back since the 40s.
Yeah, which was a prophecy in Isaiah, I think.
Thorn in the sides of those countries.
Yeah.
Israel is a bad problem because they represent a political philosophy they don't like, and they represent a religion that they don't like there. And I'm a pro-Israel guy.
Yeah, me too. It's the only democracy, really, in the Middle East.
It is. It's, in a way, it's a mini America.
Yeah.
There. And I really empathize with those folks. I tried. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine being afraid every time I lay down at a rock that was going to rain down and kill me or my kids.
That is just crazy.
It's beyond crazy because Israelis are not like that. If Palestine, or this, I'm sorry, excuse me, if the state of Palestine or the PLO, whoever you want to call them, or let's call them what they are, Hamas, if they would stop causing so much turmoil in the Middle East, if they would stop with the rockets, if they'd stop with the petty playground bullying of Israel, that region of the world would quiet down quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
And Israel, they have the firepower. They could just go in there and just eradicate that entire little...
Yeah. Just like I said, Israel is a mini America. America and Israel has always shared military technology. When we became allies, the first thing Israel did for us was they shared with us Russian jet fighter technology. And that's technology you still see in American warbirds today. When Israel and America started, in other words, Israel right now is one of the sharpest military. It's not as big as the U.S. military, but it's just as lethal. And I can see the control and Netanyahu. I know that, and humanistically, he would love to unleash that military on everyone around him over there because they're all just hooligans.
Yeah.
But constraint. Netanyahu's a great leader. He shows constraint and he tries to show the world, look, we're trying to get along here. The world has become very anti-Israel. America, a lot of the citizens here and worldwide are completely all anti-Israel. And I think that too is a sign of possibly, some biblical stuff coming down on us here. Maybe not in our lifetimes, hopefully, but maybe in our children.
Yeah. Well, never know. No man knows the day nor the hour, right?
I don't want to know.
No, me either. Just live the day the best you can and try to do what's right.
Absolutely.
Ed, thanks so much for coming on the show, and thanks for all your hard work at DC Exposed. I'm glad I found DC Exposed. It's a great source of truth. We'll have links to DC Exposed on this podcast and the show notes right below, and thanks again for coming on.
Mark, thanks for having me, man. I wanted to just say, too, on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/DCExposed.com, without the dot. You folks want to check us out there, but I really appreciate you listening, and look forward to doing it again.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. If you're new to prepping and you want to learn more, you can check out our 7-step survival plan. It's under the categories section on the left-hand side of the page. Until next time, happy prepping.